Hey, it's Mistress Carrie reporting for duty from MCHQ for episode 128 of the Mistress Carrie podcast. And before we get to this week's guest, David Draymond from Disturbed, I want to let you know about all of the new stuff you can find in the online store at MistressCarrie.com. With the holidays fast approaching, you might be looking to do some shopping and check some people off your holiday shopping list, or maybe you just want to treat yourself. Head to MistressCarrie.com and head to the shop where you can find sweatshirts, t-shirts, tank tops, beanies, coffee mugs, pint glasses, holiday ornaments. And new for the holidays, you can check out the selection of visors, trucker caps, and fitted caps. You can outfit your bar with a new set of coasters and a 7-in-1 bartending tool. And if you're frustrated that you can't take bags into concerts and sporting events anymore, there's a concert and event bag that's clear plastic and meets the dimensions of almost all of the venues, so you can take what's important into shows. And yes, it's got a little purple on it. Check it all out at MistressCarrie.com. My guest this week is David Draymond from Disturbed, and the band is getting ready to release their 8th studio album this Friday, November 17th. It's called Divisive. David Draymond has already had 2 number one songs this year. One collaborating with guitarist Nita Strauss, and the other the first single off of the new Disturbed album. It seems that our careers have been running on a parallel line for decades now. And sitting back down with David Draymond to talk about creating an album in all of the chaos that we've seen the last couple of years. We also talked about songwriting and his relationship with the band, the surprise collaboration with Ann Wilson from Heart on the new album, and we also talked about family life and the upcoming holidays. I'm honored to be able to call David Draymond a friend after all these years, so allow me to introduce you to David Draymond from Disturbed.
Hey, what's up? This is Sully from Godsmack. Strap on those boots, baby, because you are now in the trenches of the war room with the one and only Mistress Carrie right here on the Mistress Carrie podcast.
What's up? This is Joe Rogan, and you're listening to Mistress Carrie.
Her hair is so lovely. With the eyes.
Hey, this is Brent from Shinedown, and you're listening to Mistress Carrie. Hey, Carrie, go put your bra on, girl.
Hey, this is Steven Tyler, and you'll be listening to the baddest bitch in Boston, Mistress Carrie.
What's up? This is Aaron from Stain, and you're listening to Mistress Carrie.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Grohl from Foo Fighters, and you're listening to the one, the only, Mistress Carrie.
Hey, this is David from the band Disturbed, and you're listening to the baddest bitch in Boston, Mistress Carrie.
Hi, Bruce Dickinson here from Iron Maiden. Yes, indeed, Miss Whiplash herself, Mrs. Carrie, is here to unchain your brain.
Hi, this is Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You're listening to Mistress Carrie.
This is Dennis Leary. You are listening to my favorite, Mistress Carrie.
Hey, this is Corey from Stone Sour, and you're listening to... You have the privilege of listening to Mistress Carrie.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. David Draymond, what a sight for sore eyes.
How are you, Carrie?
I'm really good. How are you?
Waiting for the next storm to hit.
Yeah, I feel like we've seen quite a lot in the last few years.
It's been interesting, right?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I haven't seen you since WAF went off the air because COVID hit right after.
Right. Yeah.
So you look good. It's nice to see you.
Good to see you too.
Family's good. Everything is good.
Thank God. Everybody's great.
Yeah. Where are you right now? Are you in Hawaii or are you on the mainland?
Miami. That's why I said I'm waiting for the next storm.
Oh, I thought you were talking about just our lives. I didn't know you meant
that
an actual storm.
That too. I mean, if we're trying to be more, you know, dramatic about it, then yes, also our lives.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
It could work that way too.
Is that where you are now permanently? Is down in Miami?
For right now, yeah. We're getting a feel for it. We'll see.
You really like the warm weather, huh?
I don't like being cold, man. Yeah. I'm just not down with the cold at all. I can't handle it, you know, anymore.
And for a band from Chicago, like making that decision, it's a total lifestyle change.
Yeah. And a welcome one.
Although we just did come out of my favorite season of the year, Halloween season, and now getting to experience Halloween as a dad. Come on, it's got to be fun, right?
It is fun. It is fun. I definitely get to live a little vicariously through my kid. You know, he's awesome. So we had a good time this past Halloween.
And now not only is everyone getting ready for, like, you know, I don't even want to say it, like holiday stuff, but you've got an 8th record coming out. Can you believe this is Disturbed's 8th album?
Not really.
It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah. It's weird being this old. It's weird having done this for this long. It's weird being the veterans, as they say.
Yeah.
Weird. All weird.
Divisive comes out on November 18th. And with the lockdown, COVID, kind of everything that's happened in the world, bands, number one, had time to actually decompress and kind of hunker down and have time off. But you also, when working on new music, had to decide whether you were going to write about it or be the escape from it. So talk to me about the process of kind of deciding what this record was going to be about.
For us, it's usually a combination of both. Talking about it enables our escape from it, so to speak. It's the therapy. It's the primal scream therapy, if you will. The bubble we were all trapped in, you know, terrorized by a virus for 2.5 years, 3 years. It did its damage, I think, to everybody in their own respective ways. And as crazy as everybody was prior to the pandemic, it has been magnified 1,000-fold from it. People who had nothing else to do anymore, we couldn't go to work, we couldn't do what we knew for a living, those of us who weren't, you know, in jobs that stayed functional.
Yeah, essential. If you want
essential workers. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's always nice when somebody at least deems you essential, right?
Right.
Everybody spun out. Everybody went down their respective rabbit holes. Everybody with an iPhone or a computer or whatever, they had unlimited time and unlimited resources to make themselves absolutely insane. And they did a great job at it. And I think that we had no choice but to write about what we were seeing and what we were feeling and what we were experiencing throughout the whole process.
Did you immediately start sketching out lyrics when this happened? Or did you, like a lot of other people, at first kind of enjoy the time off and not get creative? Because some people felt guilty going, this is kind of nice.
Yeah, no, I was one of those people for sure. I mean, we were in Hawaii at the time, so it's a great place to be for any reason, but it's a great place to be, especially during the pandemic on certain levels. You know, we tourism is what Hawaii's staple is, right? There was no tourism. There was nothing. We had the island to ourselves. It was nice having the quiet, the solitude, the lack of traffic, but you know, the rushes for goods and services that would occur from time to time, and the hoarding and the being on an island and not being able to get anything if it doesn't come in by ship and they stop all shipping. Well, that's a little bit of a problem. So it had its pros and cons, but and for us, I know a lot of bands spent their time doing virtual stuff and writing, and we really, over the course of the past 3 records now, have really focused on making sure that we're in the same room together when we're creating, at least for most of it. And so it wasn't going to happen, you know, when we were being kept in separate locations, for it to come together the way we know that it deserves to come together. You know what I mean? That level of chemistry and power. But so we waited, and it was definitely worth the wait, because once we did hit the ground, we hit it running.
So talk to me about how this works. Is it you and Dan in the room? Is it all four of you in the room? And where does the song... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. It usually starts with Danny and I. You know, Mikey definitely comes into the equation. But it's always a riff and a vocal melody. You know, and the riff is in a 2-3-part progression. The beat that, you know, Danny plays along to isn't necessarily what the solidified beat at the end of things becomes, but it's usually close to it. You know, the melody and the cadence for the lyric, the rhythm of it, are written prior to a lyric of any kind. The lyric is the last thing to be married to this scat version sort of melody that's thrown over the rest of the music. And so it was great, you know, when we finally were able to safely come see one another and made some trips and tunes started flowing. They were flowing heavy and groovy and, you know, all syncopated. Just, you know, early in the process, Danny was wondering what kind of direction we should go. And I said to him, you know, we should definitely go back to the heavy stuff. Yeah, I think everybody's been asking for it. They want it. We want it, you know, especially after the past 2.5 years of insanity we've been through. We wanted the heavy stuff. So it was nice to be able to go back home, so to speak.
And Disturbed is among a growing list of artists that have kind of infiltrated Nashville and taken it over for the rock bands.
Yeah. It's definitely, it's vibey there, that's for sure. You know, and there's great studios and great people working there. For me personally, I'm not exactly running back to Nashville to make another record just because my allergies are out of control there. But, you know, I think that we got some amazing work done with some great people there.
Talk to me about the difference between obviously collaborating with Dan and the band. I spent a lot of time talking to Anita Strauss about what it was like for her to collaborate with you, especially kind of virtually on a song that is hers, but yours. So talk to me about the difference between working with Disturbed versus collaborating with other artists.
It really goes on an artist by artist and situation by situation basis. No two are identical. It usually helps if whoever I'm working with is at least open to and willing to hear my suggestions. You know, otherwise it's not much of a collaboration. And Nita was amazing. Nita and Josh both were great. For the most part, the finalized version of the music already done. It wasn't that way and isn't that way usually with Disturbed songs. It's something that develops a little bit more over time. But their situation was different. They were looking to find singers for the songs they had already done. And the only difference is that with mine, there was no vocal melody and there were no lyrics. And so I wrote that part of it. The rest of the music was her and Josh, and they did a great, great job. And there was a little bit of massaging here and there, but not much. I mean, the arrangement musically was pretty much the same from when they handed it to me. It was just me filling in melodies and, you know, lyrics.
You've had 2 number one songs so far this year, one with Nita and your 15th with Disturbed. When I saw that number, I was like, are you kidding me? I just couldn't believe it.
Crazy stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to believe when you say it back, too. I mean, it's very surreal. You know, we've been very blessed, and I'm very fortunate to have always had the opportunity to work with great people. But in particular, you know, Danny's my songwriting brother. You know, Disturbed are my songwriting brothers, and they're the ones that, in my humble opinion, I do my best work with. So we definitely bring the best out of each other. But the Nina track was incredibly fun and great to do, and they're brilliant, you know, in their own right, the both of them. So I wish them nothing but the best. I know that she's got more stuff coming down the pipe. So
I'm sure it was a welcome distraction too. While all the craziness was happening.
Yeah, it was. It filled the void. That's for sure. Yeah.
What were you doing that wasn't musically related? Did you learn a new language? Did you put Legos together? What were you doing that was outside?
I was an insane person that was trying to do rehab a 1940s era beach house during pandemic and supply chain issues and inflation, cost of supplies going up by 40% and 50% on certain things. I mean, it was insane. My entire pandemic was contractors and construction and all the pain and misery that comes along with
it. I literally am in the middle of doing that right now, and I noticed I have paint on my arm.
There you go.
I got to put a sweatshirt on because I got to cover that up.
I feel you.
Mikey Mushok from Stain told me that he's become quite the tiler. Did you develop a skill?
No. I don't trust my skills in those departments. I let the professionals do that.
One of the things that I think all of us as music fans kind of realized is that we need that trip to church for us, meaning the live concerts, the access to the land of misfit toys that I call us, to the bands we know and love. So for you, what was it like to not be able to perform? Because we were miserable.
Yeah, like not being able to breathe.
Yeah.
It's cliche to say you don't know how much you're going to miss something until you don't have it anymore, but it's the truth. It's a source of release and escape and empowerment and so therapeutic for so many people that when you don't have it, everything else gets exacerbated. It really does. And for us, it just left us lost. I left a lot of people I know, colleagues of ours and other bands, just wondering what the purpose was at that point. It was tough.
One of the things that I did was, welcome to MCHQ, by the way. I built my own studio and had to learn and launch a whole new career. And in the process, I've been able to talk to a lot of artists that maybe I wouldn't have with my old job. And one of those artists that popped up on my screen in the middle of the lockdown was Ann Wilson. And I literally screamed when her face popped up on the screen. When I found out that you guys were collaborating with her, I was like, holy shit, you got to tell me how you made this happen.
Yeah, crazy, crazy turn of fate and luck and whatever else you want to call it. Anne had voiced that she dug our version of the cover of The Sound of Silence that we did.
Everyone else digs that cover, that song.
But it was just really cool just to know that we were on her radar at all.
Yeah.
I think it was a bunch of people, including Bruce Dickinson and myself, that were commenting on a thread in Twitter about who we thought was the best female rock voice of all time. And we had both said, without question, it's Anne. And so she responded and she was very grateful and, appreciative of it. And so I messaged her afterwards. I'm like, hey, we're about to go in the studio and do another record. I'm like, I'd love to work on something together if you're into it. And she was down. So the whole process of the record went by and we were having such a good time doing the heavy stuff. We didn't really pay much attention to anything that would have been appropriate for a duet unless it was going to be something really in your face and ballsy, which wasn't really what we were feeling. At least for that. And then it was towards the end of it, and Danny had this idea that he had recorded with Drew, our producer, and I hadn't been able to come up with anything for it yet because it was a different vibe. And my head was still so much in the heavy. And so one day we were in the lounge waiting for Drew to finish some edits on some stuff, and I told him, why don't you bring out the guitar? Let's give that thing another shot. And I poured out the melody right there, and it came out great. And originally I tracked it, and we listened back to it, and I'm like, ah, man, if there was ever a track, this is the one, you know, like we should present this to Ann. And so I sent it to her and she loved it. We flew out to Oakland to go track her, and an amazing experience. You know, the woman still has, you know, ridiculous pipes.
It's unfair to other singers. Yeah, it really is.
She's so killer. It's just crazy. And it was a honor and a privilege to work with her. I got to sing along with her at times, and you know, we got to work out melodies together and harmonies together, and it was really, really cool. One of those moments that's definitely going on my bucket list of things, you know. You can check that one off. But and now that end result of the thing, I couldn't be happier. I mean, it's literally one of my favorite songs we've ever written, and I think that our voices sound just absolutely beautiful together. So hopefully everybody digs it the way that I do.
There's a lot to unpack here. First of all, social media did something good, bringing you and Ann Wilson together.
Who thought it could be possible, right?
Second of all, you slid into Ann Wilson's DMs.
Essentially.
And third of all, did you just flippantly send that message to her? And then what did the rest of the band say when you're like, hey, Danny, I slid into Ann Wilson's DMs and she's down to do something on the record? What was that conversation like?
It was surreal until we were ready to actually send her the song. You know, and once we were sending the song, we're all nervous. Like, oh, now it's real. Now we're going to have to see what she thinks of it. And it's going to be either yay or nay, right? But yeah, it's very surreal for all of us. I mean, we're all huge fans of her and Heart, and yeah, so it's a pinch me moment for everybody.
I mean, it's unreal to think that next year Heart is celebrating their 50th anniversary. And I feel like just now they're getting their due for exactly how influential, what amazing songwriters, Nancy's playing, Anne's vocals. Like, it's taken this long for people to go, yeah, wow, that band is kind of friggin' awesome.
Yeah, that happens a lot with some of the classic bands that have a second coming, so to speak, you know, in the latter half of their careers. And look, if they haven't gotten it up until now, they certainly deserve it. I mean, 1,000%. I think that they're one of the great rock acts of all time. Just fantastic songwriters, fantastic performers, and yeah, and Anne herself, not just one of the best rock voices or female rock voices, but one of the best voices, period, I would say, of all time. So
when you talk about 15 number one songs, the song with Ann Wilson being one of your favorites ever, do you remember the first song you ever wrote?
Oh, God. No. That would have been like when I was like 14 years old.
Is that when it started for you?
Yeah, essentially. So I don't. I can faintly kind of remember how it went, and I'm not going to. but yeah, I mean, I can't remember it 100%. But
are there other writers or songwriters or musicians in your family lineage? Did you inherit it?
My brother, for sure. He's talented. A very talented songwriter in his own right, for sure. He's definitely got that ability.
I ask songwriters on the show all the time now, can you give me an example? This isn't a favorite song question. This is a craft question. Can you give me an example of a song that is so brilliantly written that you covet it and wish you wrote it? Like a perfect example of brilliant songwriting, but then you got to break it down and tell me why. Any artist, any genre, anything.
It will go relatively current. There's a band called Thrice. They did a song called Black Honey. I think it's just staggeringly brilliant. you know, it's not that it's overly complex in any way. I just think that the way that it was written, the way it was structured between the melodies, the execution of the melodies, the actual lyric in and of itself, the content, the message being delivered, all of it is absolutely brilliant. I would have loved to have written that one. It's a very poignant song and a huge hook, and kudos to those guys. It's one of my favorites of the past 5 years or so.
It seems to be a trend that the word simplicity always comes up when people talk about brilliant songwriting.
Because it's not about filling as many notes within a certain time frame as you possibly can, or how great your runs vocally sound, or it's sometimes about finding, not sometimes, it's always about finding that mystical combination of rhythm and melody that resonates, that for whatever reason, strikes a chord within you that really lights you up. And it's not scientific. It's the most difficult and random at times, and the most incredible blessing to be able to tap into that frequency, that little range where you are able to discern and find and create, immortal moments, melodies that get stuck in somebody's head beyond the time of their creation, way beyond the time of their creation, sometimes decades into it, sometimes centuries into it. I mean, it all depends. I mean, so incredibly powerful, and it's an incredible gift to be able to wield it.
You write those songs locked down in kind of a padded room. You release the record. There's already plans for 2023. Just the other day, we get the lineup for Download, and you guys are on it. Like, 2023 is Disturbed on the road all year, right?
Well, not all year. We've had to be very choosy, whether we like it or not. It's a weird environment right now. It is very difficult between inflation and everybody running out to go tour out of the gate the minute the gates opened, and the fact that we lost 60% of our labor force during the pandemic, all the techs, all the roadies, all the, engineers that were a part of it, a lot of them couldn't wait 2.5 years, 3 years to go back to work. And they went and did other things. So, and so now there's less people available to work. Fuel costs are through the roof. Busing costs are through the roof. Trucking costs are through the roof. We have colleagues of ours calling off tours after they've already been on sale because they're looking at the financial repercussions and realizing they're going to come back with a huge loss and realize they can't do it. So we don't want to end up throwing something out there once again, like what happened with the Sickness Anniversary tour. We, that was out of our control, but I hate that shit. I don't want to have to throw dates up and then, maybe not be able to complete them. So we're trying to make sure that everything is as sound as possible and as, confirmed as possible before we go forward. It's weird. There's also, we don't have the desire to, as much as we missed touring and as much as we missed, being out there, it's not going to be the frequency. It simply can't be at the frequency that it used to be anymore. We're all older. God knows I am. This shit does not get any easier as you get older.
Well, you got to take care of your voice. Touring is hard, and you've all got families now, and you want to be around for them.
Yeah. So, the plan right now is to start up in the spring and be done by the end of summer. To do, a big U.S. run, to do some of the European festivals, and then we'll see. I'm sure that we'll get some asks for another festival or two here and there in the States and whatnot, and I always enjoy doing stuff like that. But we're not going to tour as frantically as we used to in the past, that's for sure. So when we do come around, people need to kind of take advantage of it, just like we are. It's a it's a rarer occurrence than it used to be.
The pandemic definitely showed one thing, that rock is most definitely not dead, because the streaming numbers, the amount of artists that are releasing music, the tours that are selling out everywhere, rock more than anything is alive and well.
For me, the biggest indicator is the continued development of new talent. That to me is the biggest deciding factor. I mean, nobody makes a better argument than the fans and their continued commitment to the genre and to, you know, to be as loyal and as powerful as they are and have been and will continue to be. But without new blood, that's when something dies. And I've been so pleased over the past over the past 5 years, 10 years, with a lot of the new bands that have come out. I'm happy about, you know, the success of, I remember when nobody had ever heard of Bring Me the Horizon, and now they're gargantuan. That literally happened just within the past decade. I don't want to say that Volbeat's a new band, but they're a newer band, and they're massive globally. Bands like Motionless in White and I Prevail and Plush and The Warning and, you know, all this great stuff, the guys in Nothing More. I mean, they give me such hope for a future of, of newer acts that are out there. And it's just nice knowing that we're not going to be the last, that it's going to continue on after us. We're the ones carrying the torch or not. There's someone to hand it off to. And a lot of amazing talent is part of this whole new wave. So I'm enthused by it. I think people who proclaim the death of rock couldn't be more wrong. And I don't even understand what purpose it serves. Like, are you really that pissed off at whatever the hell happened to you and your respective individual experience that you need to go ahead and shit on everybody in the process? I mean, I never understood that.
Well, before I let you go, we're also, you know, getting into the holiday season, and people start looking at family traditions. And so now that you've got a young family, what traditions make you think, okay, it's the holidays now? Like, what are the things that you look forward to the most?
Well, my son definitely looks forward to being able to take advantage of both of his backgrounds, and he gets to celebrate both Hanukkah and a little bit of Christmas. So he gets presents coming, you know, out of his ears. And it's always fun trying to, you know, plan stuff like that. And we actually, we kind of get into doing like our holiday cards and stuff like that. We always try to do something goofy, something to put a smile on people's faces, not be so serious about it. But, we're not massive holiday people as a family. We kind of are more nonchalant about it. And now that we're not in Hawaii anymore among the rest of my wife's family, it's a little bit different. I don't know. We're going to kind of try and navigate the territory this year. I know that we have plans to try and take him to see some snow in December, because the kid has always been in a tropical type of climate. he misses the opportunity to see snow. So we're going to try and...
You're always welcome in Boston, Mr. Draymond.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's funny. We took him to see his cousins one time, hoping that there would be snow in the middle of Boston winter. And the one time we go there, there was no snow. So,
just like Bostonians, never giving you what you want when you want it.
There you go.
It was so nice to see you.
You too.
Congratulations with everything. Cannot wait to hear the record. And Thank you. One of those dates in the spring and the summer is going to be here.
For sure.
All right. We'll see you soon.
Be well. Bye-bye.
There he is, David Draymond from Disturbed, and the band's eighth studio album, Divisive, comes out this Friday. If you want more details on the album, check out the show notes of this episode. You'll find all the links to find David Draymond online, to find Disturbed online, and to find me online. There's also a link for this episode's corresponding playlist. There's a playlist for every full-length episode of the Mistress Carey podcast that features all of my guest music and all of the artists that we referenced in the interview. If you liked what you heard, don't forget to follow, share, and subscribe to the Mistress Carrie podcast. New full-length episodes come out every Wednesday. Plus, every weekday, you get the Sit Rep, which is filled with rock news, entertainment headlines, and so much more. And it's only 5 minutes long. And if one of your friends or family members is a Disturbed fan, share the link with them. You can join me every Tuesday night live on my official Facebook page from my video show, Cocktails in the War Room. And you can always check out the Mistress Carrie radio show. Get the details on that and find the official online Mistress Carrie store at mistresscarrie.com. The Mistress Carrie podcast, a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network.